Amen. Well, will you take your Bibles tonight and open them to Philippians? Book of Philippians. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4 tonight. Just a couple of verses. I've entitled tonight's study, In Your Right Mind. It's good to be in your right mind, by the way. Philippians 4, 8 and 9, and then I'm also going to read Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let's start with that one. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Father, I come to you tonight, and I thank you for the opportunity again to look into your word and allow you to speak to us by your Holy Spirit. And Father, I just pray that you'll speak to my heart tonight. You'll speak to each person that's here and those that are listening online. And I just pray, Father, that as you speak, we will respond. Because every time you speak, it's for a reason. And I just pray, Lord, that we will have our right mind, a mind, Father, that's focused on who you are and what you're doing and what you're wanting to do in our lives. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to back up just a few verses to jump into verse 8 here in just a moment. I always like to get a little continuity from what Scripture is saying. So go back to verse 4 in chapter 4 of Philippians, where it says, rejoice in the Lord every once in a while, and I will say it again, rejoice. Is that what it says? No. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all of our understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Now, the place of the heart is the attitude. The mind is our thought process. Sometimes our heart believes, but our mind goes, I don't know if we can do this. Right? Scripture is very clear for us right here, because then he goes right into what we need to focus our minds on. You see, what you think about is what you become, really. If you think about worries and stress and all the things that are coming up, you become that kind of person who's always worrying about everything. It's like the guy who worried about everything, and one morning he got up and he didn't have anything to worry about, and then it worried him. So, it's just... it's that kind of person. So we're going to look at tonight, what does it mean to be in your right mind? Well, first of all, he says, brothers, whatever is true. We need to have a mind of truth. We're going to look at this in two different ways. From the different aspect of what truth is not, falseness. And in fact, the Greek word for false is pseudo, which means, and it's used multiple times in Scripture, it means that it's false. It's not. It sounds right, but it's false. We are to watch for things that are false around us. We're to watch for false witnesses, people who come bearing a different witness than the Lord does. For people who are false prophets, who stand and proclaim things that are not according to God's Word. False apostles, those who claim to have authority that has not been given to them by God. False teachers, people who take God's word and twist it to turn it to say things that they wanted to say rather than what it truly says. And in many cases, it sounds right, but it's false. A mind of truth will hear things because we, jump into God's Word on a regular basis and we allow God's Word to feed us and we allow God's Word to soak into us. And so when something comes along that sounds right but it's false, it ought to immediately ring a spiritual bell in our mind. John chapter 8, verse 44 says, "You belong to," and Jesus is saying this because of the person he was speaking to was proclaiming falseness. He says, "You belong to your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Genesis chapter 3, let's go back and take a look at Satan himself. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the animals the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any of the tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.' 'You will not surely die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' And when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to them, 'Where are you?' And he answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?' And the man said, 'The woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree, and I ate it.' And then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you've done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate it.'" You see, when we hear falseness, we have to, spiritually, it must send off, you know, it must set off a spiritual bell in our lives that says this isn't right. It might sound good. I mean, it sounded good to them that if they ate something from that tree, they would be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. And of course, we know they already knew good, they just didn't know evil. So they weren't going to get anything good out of eating something that God said not to eat. A mind of truth sets its mind on things that we know are right and are true. The Greek term for truth is alethein, which means not only has the name and resemblance, but the real nature of God. In other words, it's genuine. It's the real deal. It's not a knockoff. There's no pretension. When God speaks the truth, it's true. It's always true. It will always be true. Psalm 119, a couple of different verses there tell us about that. In verse 160, it says, "All of your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal." And then 119:142 says, "Your righteousness is everlasting and your law is true." You see, folks, we can't go wrong if we'll just stick with God's law. If we'll just go by what He says, we will have a mind of truth. We will begin to think on the things that are good and right and noble and holy. And all those things that Paul is talking about, pure and lovely and admirable and praiseworthy and excellent. Think on these things. We need to have a mind of truth. Secondly, we need to have a mind of nobility, or a mind that's thinking in the right way. There's an opposite word that's used a couple of times in Scripture. It's not used very often, but it's used, and it's the word ignoble. The Greek term is asimos, which means base or low or mean. It's found specifically in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. And Paul's writing to Timothy, and he's encouraging him, and he says, "Listen, in a large house there's articles not only of gold and silver, which are very important, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some are for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work." I think that's it's a good practice for us all to go through our spiritual house and see if there are things there that are not bringing glory to God. If they are not, should we hold on to them? Should we continue to keep them in our lives? Of course not. We shouldn't. To have a right mind means to get rid of the things that are not right. Does that make sense? The things that are not useful to God. God wants to use us all in His purpose. God wants to use each one of us as an extension of His hand in this world. So instead of an ignoble mindset, we ought to have a noble mindset. The Greek word for noble is simani, which means honorable, full of character, and revered. We get the word venerable from this. It means to be respected and having dignity. It means when people look at you and hear you and are around you, they realize that you're a person who's been set apart for a reason. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 8 says, "But the noble man makes noble plans, and by noble deeds he stands." In other words, he's willing to do whatever it takes to do the right thing. We're trying to live in our right mind. Do the right thing. The third one is a mind of purity. The Greek term is sipo, if for corruptness. You either have a corrupt mind or a pure mind. A corrupt mind means rot or decompose. We get the word septic from it. I don't think any of us want our minds to be like that, but sometimes our minds are garbage. Genesis chapter 6, verse 12. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. You recall that there was a point when God was saying, listen, I just need to get rid of everybody. And Noah said, Lord, we want to follow you. So God allowed Noah to build the ark and his family, and they were saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, I used this verse a lot when my kids were growing up as teenagers. And, my fatherly advice was to make sure that you pick good friends, because the friends you pick are basically what you're going to become like. It's corruptness. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22, 23. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being, there's the word again, corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds. So, to get rid of a corrupt mind, we need to start putting pure thoughts, pure things into our lives. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, what's lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. The Greek term for pure is agna, which means unmixed. It's innocent. It's clean. It's not tainted by the things and the thoughts of this world. God wants us to not be tainted by all of the stuff that the evil one is throwing at us through all kinds of different varieties of ways. Job 33, verse 9 says, I am pure and without sin. I am clean and free from guilt. Now, Job wasn't saying that he had never sinned. What he was saying is that at that point, he had made himself right with God because he had confessed his sin before God. We need to stay in that kind of attitude with God. We need to come clean with Him. We need to be pure with Him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. He was pure. The only reason that he could be who he was and do what he did is because he was pure. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads unto death. You see, our minds are easily corrupted by the things of this world and by our own selfish desires. A mind of truth, a mind of nobility, a mind of purity, and a lovely mind. The opposite of that is ugly. My grandma used to use that word a lot. She says, "You quit acting ugly." Now, I didn't know what she meant by that until I got it reinforced by my mom. My mom reinforced it in a different way. She used a belt quite often. But the Greek term is aphanazo, which means to destroy or consume. To take what was good and warp or disfigure it. It's futile thinking. The scripture calls that a reprobate mind or a depraved mind. It's taking something that God made that was good and allowing this world and our own personal desires to change it. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 32 talks about this. For although they knew God, knew who He was, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile. I call that stinking thinking, by the way. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind. There's that word. To do what ought not to be done. They've become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They're gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. Folks, that's an ugly mind. That's a mind that knows what they should have done, but they've chosen to go in opposite directions. Instead, Paul says to the church at Philippi, we need to have a mind that's full of lovely things. What are those lovely things? True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. The word lovely here in this passage is Epaphras. It means full of love. It doesn't mean just having some love. It means overflowing with love. It is to have the mind of Christ. You see, a lot of people wonder, why would Jesus come to this earth and do all the things that He did and go all the places that He did and heal all the people that He healed and do all the things that He, casting out of demons and all those other things. Why would He do something like that? Just to prove He was God? No, He did it because He loved people. He still loves people. Epaphras means full of God's love. It means to pursue the love of God more than anything else in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 says it like this, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? You see, we've got to have a different kind of mind than this world's mindset. This world's mindset sees somebody in need and goes, well, hope they find that, you know, I hope they find some help there. Yeah, I've got plenty in my bank, but you know, I'm not going to give it to them. They probably just waste it and you know, whatever else. You know, what about loving people? God wants us to love people like He loves us. Lastly, I think we need to have a mind of praise. And there's two different things we're going to look at here. A mind of praise means I want to give praise where it deserves to be given. But there are a lot of people who don't give praise. In fact, they give the opposite of praise. They criticize. They criticize everything. They criticize what you did. They criticize what you do. They criticize what you say. They criticize where you go. They criticize everything. The Greek term is suntribo, which means to crush. Have you ever known somebody that basically just crushes you down with all their criticism? You see, it's so easy for us to be negative and to discourage and to tear down. That's our nature. You don't have to teach a child how to do that. They will immediately begin to tear somebody else down, to build themselves up. In fact, bullying and tearing other people down has gotten worse and worse and worse. It's easy for us to be negative and to discourage and tear down. It's natural, and it's a sinful mindset because we want to push other people down so that we'll feel better about ourselves. But instead, we are to have a mind of praise. Praiseworthy. The Greek term is epenetos, which means full of praise. It means to give great honor to the one who's given us everything. It literally means to bow the knee. Paul says, listen, guys, whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think on these things. To think on these things literally means to meditate on them and concentrate on them and focus on them. If you will, just turn with me back to the book of Psalms. We're going to close with this thought tonight in Psalm chapter 1. The very first Psalm. It says, blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but instead his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on this law he what? Meditates day and night. Because of that, he's like a tree that's planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. And whatever he does prospers. But not so the wicked, the people that are not in their right mind. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now go back to those first two verses. I want you to see something. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, and sit in the seat of mockers. Do you see a progression of sin? First of all, you're walking along with people who are wicked, and before long you're standing with them, and then you're sitting down with them. That's the progression of sin. The evil one, he gets your attention as you're just walking along, and he says, hey, you know, let's talk about this. And did God really say that? He knows that if you eat of this, you'll become like him. So they begin standing in the way of the sinners, and before long they're sitting in the seat of the mockers. But instead, our delight should be in the law of the Lord, and we ought to be meditating on it day and night. The Lord wants us to have a right mind. When we do, we will begin to bless and encourage and lift up and truly love people that are looking for it everywhere around us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and praise you for the fact that you've given us direction in your word. And Lord, you give us help because we can't do this on our own. Lord, our minds are not right. But we, with the mind of Christ in us, resident in us, we can begin to walk in a new life, in a new way, in the right way, with the right mind that's focused on you and on the people around us, and loving them and giving of ourselves and caring more than ever before. And I pray that you'll help us do that. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.